You're listening to On the Frontlines of CIDP on ReachMD. On this episode, we'll hear from Dr. Sammy Kella, who's a director of clinical electrophysiology and a professor of clinical neurology at the University of Pennsylvania. He'll be discussing challenges in diagnosing chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyradiculoneuropathy, or CIDP. Let's hear from Dr. Kella now.
CIDP can present early on in two ways. The first and the more typical way is that it's a slowly progressive neuropathy that goes on for more than 2 months, which is the minimum criteria needed to make the diagnosis, at least 2 months. And typically it's more than that, where a patient may develop numbness, tingling, proximal and distal weakness. So that's one of the key features of this illness. The other way that it can present is like Guillain-Barré syndrome, an acute and fulminant presentation where the patient has the same sensory and motor complaints that develop very rapidly, leading to, you know, hospitalization and really confusion with Guillain-Barré syndrome. And then, of course, the disease will continue to progress, unlike Guillain-Barré, where the progression should stop by definition by 4 weeks. And in the beginning, you really can't make the distinction between the two. It can also be mistaken when it's progressing chronically and slowly with something like motor neuron disease or ALS, because it may have minimal or it may have no sensory symptoms. And the other thing in the differential diagnosis that you always have to keep in mind is a myelopathy. So that cord compression, especially a high cervical cord compression, can look exactly like CIDP, at least in the symptomatic phase and the symptomatic presentation, and not so much, of course, in the electrophysiologic evaluation. There are no specific biomarkers, and that's what makes this disease so hard to nail down. You need the clinical manifestations, you need the electrophysiologic manifestations, and you need to exclude other things, like I said, cervical myelopathy, multiple sclerosis, for example, or motor neuron disease, which you can then do by EMG. But one of the interesting features of this illness are the subset of patients who don't respond typically to first-line therapies. And one of the first-line therapies, of course, is steroids or IVIG. And typically, CIDP is highly responsive to these drugs. And one of the diagnostic criteria, it's not a biomarker, but it is one of the diagnostic criteria, is the rapid response. So that if you don't have a rapid response to CIDP, either it's not CIDP or it's one of the subset illnesses that I mentioned, which are the nodopathies, so that you can have neurofascin, for example, or contactin, and you should be able to test for those. And so in some way, there's a subset of patients where the illness can be diagnosed, not so much with a biomarker, but with these proteins that you can measure.
That was Dr. Sammy Kella talking about challenges in the diagnosis of CIDP. To access this and other episodes in our series, visit On the Frontlines of CIDP on ReachMD.com, where you can be part of the knowledge. Thanks for listening.